MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Viv Govender, Rand Swiss. Viv, appreciate the time. Last week, we saw a bunch of the big tech stocks with numbers out. We've also had some others this week, the likes of AMD. Last week, of course, was Alphabet, Microsoft, Meta. So the list goes on. I've got some thoughts, but before we delve into some of the details, what perhaps was sort of standout for you in the numbers? Because broadly across the board, I mean, there is money being made and profits are real and giant.
Yeah, they are, but so are the valuations. I mean, we saw Nvidia pass $5 trillion. I mean, understand that we had even like a decade into the first company that hit $1 trillion.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was like 2019 when we had Apple go through $1 trillion. And the valuations we've seen from Nvidia are $5 trillion in like no time. It's incredible. And Palantir as well has done, I think, at 12 times returns in the last 5 years, 120% basically. We've seen, like, you know, the rise of all these AI tech companies. And the valuations here are shocking. And I think the problem is that, you know, the results are not bad, but any excuse, the market's going to turn against you. Look at what they did to Meta. Even though the results weren't that bad, they just got, you know, there was that one sort of tax charge that obviously brought things down a bit. But the market punished them because I think the valuations are so high that any kind of like fear just makes you kind of turn against things at the moment.
I want to touch on Meta, but I also want to, a lot of this is CapEx spend. I mean, and I was doing some digging. You're looking at about $300 billion from the big guys this year, expected to potentially rise to $450 billion next year. Most of it, however, is coming out of cash flow. Aside from Meta, who might borrow next year for it, this is coming from cash flow. So I appreciate the valuations and I appreciate this big spend, but they can kind of afford it.
Yeah, look, I mean, I have a theory about this, if you have a second. So my theory is this, right? So you look at like $300 billion in spend. Generally, companies like, you know, these software companies don't get more than about 5% of the value they create. So Excel, you've got how much value Excel creates or Word creates, 5% of that goes towards, you know, Microsoft, you know. So if you're looking at that kind of valuation, 20 times the return on the $300 billion has to be created to justify the $300 billion. 20 times $300 billion, it's about $6 trillion. That's twice the GDP of France. You know what I mean? And the second part is this. Most of the stuff that they do is not net positive for GDP. What do I mean by that? I mean, you make better lawyers, like 100 times better lawyers. The world isn't better because your lawyers cancel off by the other guy's lawyers. You make better accountants, same thing. And also when it comes to like the generative AI stuff, like songs and songs, there's only so many songs people listen to. There's always a number one song. Whether it's written by an AI, whether it's written by like, you know, an individual, it doesn't really matter because it's still going to be the same GDP. It's always pretty much the same GDP, no matter what it is, you know what I mean? Box office is kind of say the same as well over time. So I don't see the valuation be created by those things. And so what we have is effectively, you know, replacement of people. That could be something. And that could be like, you know, create the value. But then you have high unemployment, you know, no massive increase in GDP to compensate for this thing here. And then obviously issues coming down the line. The only thing that rate does create, in my view, you know, long-term GDP growth is either scientific innovation or real-world physical GDP, AI, like, you know, robots that buy it, robots that manufacture, that kind of stuff. And as yet, we haven't seen the AI stuff really related to those things. We haven't had any kind of significant scientific invention from AI at the moment, and we have not seen robotics really take off. I mean, the stuff that we see in robotics, more often than not, when you look into it, is usually some human controlling these things remotely.
Absolutely. And that $6 trillion number is giant, because that's my question is, I get the spend and I get what they're trying to do, but $6 trillion is bigger than the entire software as a service industry right now. And that is the challenge. I can see that they all want to be the leader here, but I don't know whether, you know, my $20 a month to ChatGPT doesn't make a dent in that sort of spend. And that's the risk that they have.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I mean, $6 trillion is basically 6% of global GDP. And that is what they're investing this year. So you have to have 6% of global GDP added on, you know, on a year basis for this year's $300 billion. If next year they go up to $450 billion, then you're going to add, like, basically, you know, 20 times that, that's $9 trillion. That's about almost 10% of global GDP added on for that next year's one. And so you see how much GDP growth you need to have to justify the spend. It becomes like quite a daunting feat when you think of it that way. It's not just $6 trillion like once off. It's $6 trillion for this round of spending. And the next one's cost another, you know, like I say, another like $9 trillion and so on going forward. If we do get to AGI, all this becomes, you know, mute.
Sure.
What I want to say is this, it's, you know, it's a bit of psychology. It's not quite market related, but look at the profile of the people creating these things. They are usually men over 40. You know, and as you know, people over 40 suddenly have midlife crisis, buy a Ferrari. They see death coming and that kind of stuff. And the guys making the decisions, like the Larry Ellison's, who's much well over 40. But you know, Elon Musk in his 50s, Zuckerberg in his 40s, you know, Sam Altman's much younger.
Yeah.
But these are all guys that basically are already richer than they could ever spend. You know what I mean? They have no like economic real incentive to like make their life better. If like, I mean, I hear Larry Page said he's willing to go bankrupt to like, you know, promote AI. Bankruptcy for Larry Page because he's worth a couple of billion dollars. He's worth a couple of $100 billion. You can live a pretty good life for a couple of $1 billion, you know what I mean? And I think that is the thing we should also understand, is that it's almost a ego / spiritual, whatever you want to call it, race that we're getting into right now. And so it may go on longer than we think, even if the GDP doesn't quite justify it. In that scenario, you probably want to be more focused on the guys that sling the shovels than the guys that actually buy the gold.
I get your point on that, absolutely. And so that was going to be my next point, is that, and I look at Meta, and I don't know what Meta's plan is for all their spend. I mean, Llama is free. They're an advertising business more than anything else, although truthfully, so to a fair degree is Alphabet. But is this then caution coming out in terms of some of these hyperscalers and saying, you know, let's not all head for the hills, but let's keep a close watch because, you know, valuations are getting stretched and expectations even more so?
Yeah, look, I mean, we need to see it seeing, you know, in the next few years. I mean, I think the estimates is by 2030, probably, that this kind of scaling does not progress beyond that. There's just not enough money in the world to get beyond 2030 at this kind of scaling levels. Meta is actually being really good when it comes to AI, because unlike other places, yes, they may be giving a free LLM out there, but their AI also looks at your data and figures out who exactly you are and is able to advertise more clearly to you. And that's one of the big advantages they had when Apple cut them off from, in terms of some of the data, they really fell a lot. And this AI stuff is getting them back on track. I mean, the AI data stuff, I mean, we got a new company listing in South Africa that's also doing something similar around credit scores, right? Mm-hmm. I suspect, however, in the longer term, that's going to be really cut down on by governments, because the amount of information that AI can collect on you is shocking.
I hadn't thought of that, absolutely. At some point, we're going to start seeing some regulation. Usually that horse is bolted, but I take your point. It is the insights that they have, of course, is actually just data on individuals. We leave it there. Vaf Govender, Rand Swiss, always appreciate the time.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.